Hello, friends, and welcome to The Point, the home services podcast that focuses on marketing and operational solutions to help you get better. Because if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. Now, let's cut through the bullshit and get to the point.
Hey, 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 To The Point Home Services Podcast listeners, it's your host, Chris Yano, along with my co-host, Mr. Tall, Paul Redmond. What's up, brother?
Yano, how you doing, man? Always good to see you. Always a pleasure. I think today's special, man. Really special day.
It is. Muy bien. That is Spanish for very good. I'm bilingual.
Well, this is a multilingual podcast today.
It certainly is. That's where I was going with that. It's like you're picking up what I'm putting down. You know,
dude,
what?
It's like we are one in the same, brother.
We certainly are. I mean, you're even, you know, wearing the same clothes as me, like the same. You know what? This is just Rhino uniform, right?
You know what? So one of us has to switch to the Henley, because I'm not going with a crew cut shirt. I don't like the way it touches my neck. I'll go V-neck. You go Henley. We'll call it good.
I don't even know what Henley is. That sounds horrible, but you should at least turn your hat backwards.
It has three buttons. How's that? Is that better?
Yeah, that's more your style. Okay. Now you're looking super duper tough.
Hey, dude, today's a big day because we don't hand out second opportunities to our guests very often. And I think today marks only the second time we've had someone come back into the studio to lay out more of what they shared last time. So kind of special, man.
That's very observant of you, Paul.
I can count.
You can to two. That's really good. Well, I am excited. So listeners, we have a return guest, but also a first timer along with our return guest, who I would say is probably the better half of that. No offense.
None taken.
But thank you, Chris.
You're so welcome. But we're really excited to have these two on the podcast again today. And we have an awesome lineup of things to go through and things that our listeners will really be able to take away. And so to all of our new listeners, I'm also the host. I'm also the, what am I? CEO of a company called Rhino Strategic Solutions, which is a home services digital marketing company for the trades since 2008. We're like an OG in the digital marketing space for the trades.
There you go.
OG. So for some of you, that just means we got there pretty early, like we're old. You know what OG stands for?
I do now. Just like I thought you were.
That's definitely not what it stands for.
That's a negative. No. Josh, what's OG stand for?
Original gangster.
Original gangster.
I always knew you were a gangster, Chris.
That's right. Can't you tell? It's those farmer Crawfordsville, Indiana roots.
The Crawfordsville Crips.
The Crawfordsville Crips. That's fairly accurate. Yeah, I'm sure that's how that went down. Anyhow, we're really excited. Let's get to the good stuff of having them both in here. And it's been interesting to watch their company even grow since they were here in March. Mm-hmm. And what you guys have accomplished and even what we've done together. So it's kind of a unique scenario where we have since had, we have mutual customers. So it's pretty cool. We developed a really good relationship, a good working relationship, but excited to have Josh and Laura Kelly on the show from Clover Marketing. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, Chris.
So real quick for our listeners, and Josh, I'm going to have you tee up just some of the credentials. But first, Laura, welcome. First timer.
Thank you.
Y'all are going to start a podcast.
That is the plan. Yeah, yeah.
We're calling it, I think we're going with Lip Service for Contractors.
Lip Service for Contractors. You heard it here first.
And we're rolling out a logo. So when we do roll it out, and if anybody loves it or hates it, let us know.
No, if you hate it, I don't care.
Yeah,
I do. Sure.
Yeah. Well, Laura is originally from Kinsale, right?
Kinsale, a little town in Cork, so it's down south in Ireland.
Right on the very bottom of Ireland, right?
Very bottom, yeah.
So,
the best of us come from the bottom.
I don't know. I don't know how to respond to that one.
I don't really know either where to go with that.
Moving on.
I'm out on that.
But listen. You immediately can say, like, you can get away with so much when you just have an accent. Is that fair?
Oh, that's fair.
That's pretty fair.
I mean, she doesn't even speak real English sometimes, and people don't seem to mind.
Oh, it's the accent. You get away with it no matter what.
I'll tell you, I was in Walgreens a week ago, and they were like, you speak great English. And I was like, thanks.
You said, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. You really enunciated it. Well, I want to get into this, and really, I'm excited to hear also from you, Laura, just your experience along the way too with all this, and you know, because this wasn't your initial, you know, this wasn't your path, right?
It wasn't the game plan, no, yeah. It was not.
So, it's, you know, so hearing your perspective will be great. Clearly, Josh has a ton of knowledge. So, let's go ahead, if you would. And you know, go ahead and let the listeners know that might be listening for the first time, just a little bit of your background, Josh, yeah. and then go ahead and segue right into what you guys have been doing with Clover and name drop. So that way we kind of have some, you know, the listeners have some ideas of some of the guys that you're working with.
We could do that. Yeah. So I came from the service industry. I'm even as a young kid worked in the sheet metal shop, did installs, was a plumbing helper, never went to tech space because I'm just not tough enough to do that full time, to be honest. But my family owns a business called Parker & Sons here in Phoenix. I ran some of the operations and ran the marketing for, I want to say almost 15 years.
About a $1 or $2 million company?
Yeah, it was, you know, it was 6.5 when we bought it. This year we'll do 140. When I left, we were over 100. I don't do anything with Parker & Sons day to day. We actually kind of did an offshoot and started doing our own thing.
Right.
When we started, when we sold off to anybody who's out there knows the Wrench Group. Ken Haynes, we're the largest company in the wrench group. I think actually maybe the largest company in the United States, almost for sure now, that's not like a franchise or
right.
in five cities, right? We'll do 145. The goal, crazy enough, is $200 million in the next 3 years, which
with
is
one no big deal. With one of the nicest dudes ever, which is your...
Yeah, my father, Paul. Pops. Yeah, I mean, unless you're talking about me specifically. Yeah. Second nicest dude, I guess, but yeah.
Laura, then Josh. Kidding.
There you go.
But yeah, so came from contractor space. Really, my background's operation and marketing. I worked for, you know, companies like Pulse, which is the largest home service company in the United States. At one point, they had like over $1 billion valuation. Started my own software company. And now we focus on a business we launched, really relaunched here at the beginning of the year called Clover Marketing, which is really a consulting and marketing firm for some of the biggest, most successful companies in the United States. We have relationships, you know, not just with Parker & Sons, but with, you know, some clients that, you know, you have like a D&H or a King Heating, you know.
We Care, yeah.
Yeah, We Care, you know, Four Seasons. I know the Horizon guys real well. We don't work with them right now, but we're talking to them right now about it. Just some big name successful guys. We've been able to grow kind of companies across the board. I've been doing this for years, helping other companies grow, but really started focusing. It was kind of like an afterthought. People come to me and say, hey, I've been stuck at 5 million for, you know, 10, 15 years. Can you help me? And then I just took people when they came to me by chance, right? Like the five-year one at King Heating, we went from 5 million to
14.
Yeah, 15, yeah, they'll do 14 this year. Awesome. And that's like 6 years, I think, maybe 7 years. So pretty good growth. And then, yeah, no, I've just been doing that. And
they're in Chicago, right?
Yeah, they're in Chicago.
That's Chicago, right?
Yeah, so, like, they'll call it Chicago. I'll call it Chicago, but someone from Chicago, they're in Frankfort, which is, like, way south Chicago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they, you know, I might get yelled at for calling them Chicago, but, yeah, they're in Chicago.
And you work with Four Seasons, too?
So I know Dominic real well there. He's a member of our jam sessions and contributed a bunch to us and
nice.
Done that stuff. Yeah.
Awesome. Interesting. Awesome. That's a roster, man.
Yeah. Well done. And you've had already had a great deal of success with it. So probably makes a lot of sense of people reaching out to you to consult with them that you just actually turn it into a legit business and roll with it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, so, you know, I was working for Pulse last year. And I was traveling to San Francisco literally every other week for a full week. It was exhausting, difficult work. I learned really quickly. I wasn't very good at corporate. Decided to leave them. Got kind of courted by Service Titan, and we decided not to work that out. And then just kind of like, hey, what can we do that we could really change people's lives in a significant way and really grow them? And just kind of fell into this. And then, you know, really started running our jam sessions too, which is something we're super excited about. It's kind of a separate arm of Clover Marketing, which actually Laura does the day-to-day on that. So I'll let her talk to that.
Well, I'll jump in real quick. I'm just clearly so inspirational that years ago, before we ever met, Josh called his company Clover.
Yeah, there you go.
And now we're together.
No way.
Seriously. Seriously, seriously.
That's amazing.
I know. There you go.
It was meant to be.
So yeah, jam sessions. We really started focusing on it, how many months ago?
I mean, January, February.
January, but we had a lot of members in it before. Just, again, people reaching out, and they were like, you know, why try recreate the wheel when we could just, you know, ask you questions? So they were just constantly reaching out, asking you questions, Paul questions, and that's how Parker grew. You know, I'm fortunate enough to have, like, these guys as, like, my ultimate mentors. Even actually on the way out here, Paul, I called Paul, and Paul is now going to be my official mentor. So I'm like, you know what? Bring it on. That's excited.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I'm gonna learn the ropes even more, because I feel like I'm a bit of a novice, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, it's been great. We are interview the best guys in the industry. Every month we roll out a new jam session, and it's really focused on, like, actionable. So when we get the best guys on, we literally find somebody who has, like, nailed a particular idea. Mm-hmm. And they share that idea with us, but they actually break it down, like, step by step on how they roll out this idea. So it's not just like, oh, I like what this guy's doing, but it's like, okay, this is what they're doing and this is how they're doing it. And then you actually get their playbook broken down on like a downloaded playbook. So you get it. Yeah, you get the playbook and an action book, and then, like, questions that they've asked themselves that spurred their growth in that area. So it's really just fast tracking your growth, and it's been awesome. And I think it's cool too for, like, contractors to grow and learn from each other, like the collaboration inside, and, like, our group, our Facebook group, all of that. It's cool to just watch the growth. So
are jam sessions open to really anybody of any size, like within the home services space?
For sure. Yeah. Jam sessions is one of those things. Essentially, we take in the best contractors. We pick a specific topic that they're awesome at, and we break it down whether you are a $50 million business, a $100 million business, or a $1 million business. Like, these are topics like, you know, how do you recruit and retain people, right? That applies to everybody, right?
Yeah.
How do you market? Like, what's the secret to bringing down your cost per lead? This applies to everybody, right?
Right.
And now it might be slightly different the way that $50 million does it compared to that $1 million or that $5 million. But the action items and everything associated with it, you're changing 10% of it. You know what I mean? 10 to 15% of it. You're not recreating the wheel, because why would you?
Even yesterday, not everybody, but there's a Facebook group called Service Avengers.
Yeah, Service Avengers.
And yesterday I was only on there, and a guy was like, how can I incorporate plumbing into my, and of course, I personally don't know how to do that, but I know Ken Justo, who we know really well, is actually coming onto a jam session pretty soon, and he's breaking it down step by step. So this really nice dude on this group went from, like, a thought, and now he literally has the playbook. So, like, he's gone from, like, how the heck am I going to do this, to, like, being able to, like, start rolling it out successfully and accurately as of tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, so
and
it's cool.
I don't know if you know that story, or the Justos from ASI, good friends of ours, right? I mean, everybody knows everybody in this industry. It's crazy. But they added plumbing, and they did, like, don't quote me on this, but I want to say, like, 8 million within, like, 18 months for plumbing.
Wow.
From scratch, from zero. Like, jeez. Just ridiculous growth. It had, pretty cool.
That is awesome. So you're having a blast, Laura, then?
Yeah, you know, it's a fast-track way to kind of get the scoop on the big guys, you know?
Yeah, well, I think, as you and I have become friends, you know, and not only, you know, working together with multiple customers is, I can attest to, it's legit, like, Parker and Sons, I don't believe defines, you, you know, like, it doesn't define what you guys are doing, but it certainly is helping. That's where you came from, and you really proven everything through that channel.
Yep.
But you actually have so much more to offer beyond that.
Yeah.
And that's why I thought it was so great to have you guys back on, is to talk about, you know, the purpose of the podcast is to reach out to the masses in our space, home services space, and give them actionable items that they can use and take away. Sometimes that means consultants, like, we don't do that, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to give them somebody that, hey, like, this all sounds great, I've got the ambition, maybe they took notes and checked boxes, and, you know, and from our first episode, which was episode 8, called don't be the tooth fairy of the trades, or something somewhere along those lines, you actually gave a ton of takeaways in that, and we got a lot of great responses from it, of people just saying this was good and leaving reviews and things like that. So the good part here is, you just heard Josh say and Laura say that they don't care what size you are. You can reach out and do a jam session, and then from there you can see what might come.
Yeah, right? for sure.
And as well, just for anybody who do want, we give, especially like for a Rhino, because we're associated with Rhino, we give you guys a free trial for sure. So yeah. you can kind of get a teaser and a taste.
So that's right, Ryan.
Break down the jam session just a little bit more for me. So is this a one-time event that's like a couple of hours in one room, or now is it virtual? What's that look like?
Yeah, no. So we try and make everything. So like advantage I have and a huge disadvantage, right, is like I learned by traveling and visiting so many companies, and I work with a lot of companies, some with direct consulting, which is very hands-on. I feel like a team member in the business, right? And some just through jam sessions. And the problem with doing that is that you can't make this really complicated, sophisticated, hard to work with you, right? Because I'm not there in the business anyway, right? So I have to simplify everything. So jam sessions is an incredibly simple product that delivers a ton of value. Essentially, we do we'll call it a webinar, but it's not a webinar. It's you take an industry leader once a month. It's going to deliver right to your inbox. You're going to get text messages following up on it, everything setting you up for success. You watch it. It's 45 minutes an hour. It's recorded, so you don't have to watch it live, but you can watch it the day it comes in if you want to. And then we send worksheets following up behind it. So, hey, here's the big takeaways. Here's what we learned. Here's all the benefits. Here's what we've seen other companies success that they've actually launched this before. And then we have an accountability side to it, too. Like, hey, did you do this? What were your results? What's going on? And all of that's digitally for jam sessions. So like we're just pestering, and Laura will test. We pester the crap out of you if you don't get it done. If you get it done, you're having great success. Yeah, we'll wait till next month.
Which then you end up pestering your team member, whoever is going to roll out that idea.
Oh yeah, yeah. Generally,
well, the accountability piece of it is probably the biggest piece of it, because most people just. And the ambition is there, like we were just talking about, and then they don't do anything with it. So you got to keep pushing.
I think the thing as well is like, again, it's rolling out the idea, but then as part of jam sessions, there's a group coaching call every month that they get on, and the idea that they've been shared, they just ask Josh questions around it. And we'll then push them even further to just implement, you know? Yeah.
And it's actionable too. That's a big thing too. Like everybody's been to a conference or watch this amazing webinar, right? And like you come up with this great idea and you sit in front of your desk and then you're just staring at your computer and you're like, well, I like that, but how?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. What am I going to do?
So we give the how, which makes it, we actually have a really good success rate in actually getting people to implement because we have to break it down so simply and, you know, really focus on, you know, levers they could pull instead of, you know, concepts. It's not like, it's a really good idea to have a brand. Yeah, no, everybody knows that, but how do you build the brand, right? Like what steps are there? Like what would you do first?
Yeah. Do you find yourself, even after you show the how, that some business owners or leaders or whoever you're working with, they're just not how people. They just can't figure out how to go. So what is it about those people? What kind of themes do you see, or what type of reoccurring issues are you running into with people not being able to implement?
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, Housecall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads, capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
I think a big problem too is people don't even set goals because they don't know the how, and that freaks them out because they just don't know how. So that is huge too, but sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I would say there's certainly, you know, ideas are cheap, implementation is where it's at, right? And there's business owners that are really good at implementing some ideas, but some are just outside their comfort zone. Number one, you have to get them comfortable with it. Number two, you have to follow up with them and just pester. There's no like solution. I don't believe in a one size fits all kind of thing for really any business, right? Every business, every owner, every culture is different. Right. Even locations, like you can't do the same thing in every one. And to try that is a mistake, right? So really to us, it's just constant communication, making sure they're having success, making sure they're implementing. And sometimes that's, you know, contractors will tell, hey, like I loved 70% of this, but like I'm not going to do this 30%. I'm like, okay, that's cool. But you're going to share the results. And if your results aren't significantly better, then you're going to have to be open to doing that other 30%. Is that fair? Right? And then if we follow up and they're not getting the results, now we have a lever to pull and, you know, some sort of an agreement we've made with them, right? Setting expectations. So that's kind of how we do it. But like every company has problems. It's not like we don't. It's not like Parker and Suz doesn't. It's not like, you know, every company has issues with some stuff.
At all sizes.
Oh, it just gets magnified.
Well, you were going to do a, before it all got canceled, you were going to do a breakout at Linux Live, and it was called...
What was it? Woolly. Yeah, turning a small business into a woolly elephant slash
into a woolly mammoth.
Crossed out woolly mammoth. Yeah.
That's it, right? Yeah. And that's legit what you have the capability of doing, but they got to go, like, they got to legit take what you're telling them to do in the process and like go all in, you know, right? Like, that's part of it. So it's not just, hey, this is some fancy little title, which maybe that's a good one for this particular podcast. Maybe I'll just steal that from you.
There you go. Steal. Go away.
R&D. But it's legit. It's something that you've been through and you continue to go through. So would you share, beyond Parker and Sons, because that is clearly like a super successful story.
Yeah.
And what else have you, would you say is like another good success story that you guys have had with Clover Marketing so far?
I mean, we could talk about King Heating. We could talk about WeCare. We could talk about D&H. We could talk, and there's lots of companies. I tend not to, number one, go into details too much of any company because, like, they may not be comfortable with me sharing numbers or not even just sharing numbers, like, hey, what issues they had or what did we really help grow. But
then maybe just share a common, something like what's a common mistake that you're seeing that these companies are making? Is there some sort of commonality there?
Almost all businesses, and this sounds crazy, but almost all businesses have almost the same problems. So the first thing I look at when I'm really trying to consult and understand the business is I want to see their reporting. That's the very first step. So many businesses aren't really tracking effectively. Like, they don't have reports for each individual department, which is crazy. They don't have goals for each individual department, which, you know, makes it difficult to succeed and hit goals if you're not telling them, right?
If you don't know what the target is or the KPIs, right?
Beyond that, so some have reporting, but no one looks at them because they're not set up properly. They're too complicated, right? And beyond that, they have reports maybe, but they don't hold anyone accountable and there's no follow-through or repercussion. So that's the first thing that I would say probably 90%, even huge businesses, and not that, you know, every business isn't guilty on this in some level, but even huge businesses, like, don't do proper simplified reporting on what actually matters, and then make decisions off of it too. Like, so many companies, like, they'll have a revenue report, like what I call like a DPR, a daily progress report, right? Or some people call it DMR. There's all kinds of different ways. It doesn't matter, right? But they track it and they pull that number like once a month, right? And, you know, it's the 25th of August and they're like, oh crap, we're short on revenue. Well, nothing can be done on the 25th. Like, you're not doing it at the right cadence, right? So awareness, reporting, accountability is a big issue with businesses. And that goes not just for numbers and reporting, but goes for, you know, functions of the business. Who's in charge of recruiting? Who's responsible? And maybe not gets yelled at, that's the wrong words, right? But who's going to be held accountable if we don't get enough technicians? Who's held accountable for retaining technicians? Because if you don't have someone or it's everyone, which is just as bad, that means it's no one, right? And then systems don't get put in place. Ideas aren't created. So the biggest one by far is accountability, but there's all kinds of stuff you could go into. And by the way, if anybody wants, like, we have examples of reports and everything that we put together. We share, you'll find anybody who's listened to me and this is the first time you've heard me, we are very much an open book. Like, I don't care, steal my stuff, steal my ideas. Good luck stealing all of them, right? But you certainly could steal a lot from me, and I encourage you to do that. It doesn't bother me. Just ask for it.
Yeah, I think that a common thing with people, you know, stealing stuff is they still don't implement it, which is why there's not all these successful, you know, stores. There's only a small fraction in the grand scheme of things that's actually a success.
Oh, yeah. Like, I can't tell you how many times. This is a perfect example. I've done speeches on recruiting, like, I don't know, dozens of times at least, right? And, you know, you go into a business, and I've done this, right? Even really successful businesses, like, recruiting is a big issue. If you could fix one problem in your business, what would it be? Generally, 90% of the time, it's like, I just get the right people, or sometimes even enough people, right? It's like, awesome. What are you doing for recruiting? I'm like, well, what do you mean? It's like, well, I want you to break down for this month what you do for recruiting.
I put an ad on Indeed.
I did two interviews. I talked to my guys one time, and you do all this math, and it's like 30 minutes worth of work for the whole month for the most important problem, right? And like, that seems crazy. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's common sense, right? Yeah. Now, that's common sense. You should be spending more time on the biggest, most successful thing you could do, right? You can't spend 40 hours a week, but you could spend more than a half hour a month. And I've told that dozens of times. And everyone's like, yeah, I got this. And then they do nothing about it. It was only when we started like, hey, here's the 30 things we suggest trying. Here's exactly how to do them, step by step. Here's how you should set your time. Here's how you should pick who's assigned the responsibility. And we started breaking it down to like, I could hand this to a monkey that knows English and they could recruit people. And that's when we started seeing success, because you said yourself, like, you know, the idea is not the important part. It's the implementation. The idea is a big piece of that, but the horrible ideas implemented amazingly will still work. They just won't work nearly as well as a great idea.
We'll make sure, actually, the free gifts that we're going to give away to any Rhino listeners they're focused around recruiting.
Yeah, we'll do a few things on it, but we'll just make a list as we're doing this. So we'll add recruiting and retention pieces onto
like,
that.
About 3 or 4 breakdowns of stuff, so we can give that to you guys.
Awesome. I feel like recruiting has always been a pain in the ass.
It's everyone's biggest complaint, but no one does anything. It's crazy.
It's been, and we talked about this before. We actually have some really big customers. Probably like you're just talking about, that we have to sometimes pause the lead gen campaigns because not enough staff. I'm like, how the hell does that happen to a company of your size? Like, how have we not figured out the recruiting game at that size? But it's always been a problem. A decade. For a decade, as long as I've been in this space, lead generation has become significantly easier than recruiting.
Oh, yeah.
People are afraid to, like, market and advertise because they're like, well, we can't cope with any more business because they don't have the guys to fulfill the jobs.
All the time.
Like, it's just, oh, that must be so bloody disheartening.
That is bloody disheartening.
I know,
deal
right?
with it all the time. Hey, is it too soon to ask for maybe one actionable takeaway? What's one easy thing someone can do with recruiting tomorrow?
So, okay. Yeah. One super easy actionable takeaway. So I'm thinking like a tech blitz, but that's for bigger companies. Let's do something that everybody could do. A lot of people, I go through this sometimes, like, should you pay a referral or a sign-on bonus? I'm personally a fan. It makes a lot of sense. You could pay way more than you think. Some people are like, hey, I'm not going to pay $500 to have somebody work here. It's like, that guy pays for itself. I mean, you could pay $5,000. You could pay $10,000, $20,000. You don't have to, but you could pay thousands of dollars for the right technician. And you don't pay it up front. You pay it over 90 days, right? You can make a lot of sense. So everyone kind of knows about that concept, right? And we could go into details on that, but I don't think that's necessary, right? But they stop short of making it actionable, right? So, hey, I talked to my techs about it, and they know they should recruit, but they have no tools to recruit. So they won't, right? So we'll actually add this to the thing, right? But we put together what we call a dare to compare sheet. Dare to compare sheet is a one sheet that has on one side your company, all the benefits, the pay, what it looks like, why they want to work there, benefit, 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 benefit. On the right side says your company and leaves blanks. Now, here's what I've done.
like it.
The point is, this technician, or by the way, your CSR, or your neighbor, or the gas station clerk that works outside your biggest competitor, I don't care who we pay this to, right? Not only knows that they could get a bonus, but they have an exact playlist of exactly, hey, tell me about your company now. I know this is a weird question, but like, you know, with our company, our average tech makes $100,000. What does your average tech, what do you make at your company? Do you have full benefits like dental, health, whatever, right? Because we do, right? Do you have time freedom, right? So we're real big on time freedom. Here's what that means. Here's the information on our time freedom. Tell me about your time freedom. So I've made like an actionable thing. We'll literally give this away. So you can just steal it, put your company name on the top, put your logo. You have something to help you recruit tomorrow. Now, that's a small thing, but good luck getting your technicians to stop, talk to another technician with no script, with no concept, with no idea, with nothing for them to talk about.
Or no it, or no financial incentive.
Yeah, yeah, you got to pay them too. Like, yeah. Otherwise,
that matters.
Otherwise, they're not going to do it no matter what, right?
What is time freedom?
Time freedom is something that most companies in our industry do not pay any attention to, and it's one of their biggest recruiting hurdles. Younger people, Laura for sure, and people her age, Kyle for sure here. I'm staring at Kyle. Not old people like me and Chris here, but
hey, easy.
Hey, they care way more about when they work, having time off, going to see their kids at baseball games, dropping their kids off at school, then they care about pay. It's a shift in mindset from where contractors are now and the business owners. Most business owners now is like, well, how can I make the most money? And that's what drives them. Younger people aren't that way. They care much more about time freedom. So how do you give time freedom as a benefit? It's pretty simple, actually. People think this is complicated. It's incredibly simple. Number one, when you're interviewing someone, you ask what hours they want to work and why. It's important to know the why because it helps you free things around, right? But let's say that guy that wants to drive his kids to school every morning. That's cool. Not a big deal. Why don't you start at 10, end at 7 every single day? That first call is now scheduled at 10. How does that affect the business in any way? In fact, it's actually better because the other technicians don't have to be on call as much, right? It's a little bit better. Or, hey, I want, I want to work the weekends and have Tuesday, Wednesday off. Or, hey, I want to work 4 days instead of 5 days, and here's the reason why. The truth is, the right technician, you don't care about any of that. And by the way, no other companies offer that stuff. It's unbelievable, right? Starting late, people are like, what are you talking about? We start at 8. That's the rule. Everyone does it, period. But why? Why do they have to start at 8? Why does it matter? Customers that need people at 10 just as much as 8, what's the difference?
That's why we've always done it.
Yeah, but yeah, that's the exact conversation, right? But having that conversation, if you don't have that conversation, number one, you'll never know that that technician needs it. And you'll lose that technician or never be able to hire that technician just because you didn't ask or you were stubborn about when they could start. These are all super simple things, right? Or, you know, by the way, in our industry, it's very seasonal, right? Giving the people the ability to take time off and take larger time off during the off season, how does that affect you negatively? If that's important to them, that's better for you. Make that one of your selling points. Talk about it if that's important to them. If they want to work straight through, hey, we figured out for every other tech, what's the difference, right?
I like it.
Simple.
Time freedom.
That, my friend, answers my question. I don't know what's happening, but I get like tears in my eyes when I hear all these great ideas because how many people are missing that? Like, I know. Chris, I'd like to talk to you about
time
freedom.
He's just
in touch
with his emotions, Chris. Leave him alone.
No. He is. Did you just say you want to talk to me about time freedom?
Off air.
Yeah. Okay.
We could role play this right now, exactly how to offer team time freedom.
We better not.
Josh, we're not doing that. This is the way we've always done it.
Well, I want to walk my poodle.
It's a golden doodle is what you've got. Let's be honest.
Well, that's actually better than the pool, in my opinion.
That's true. There you go. Look at you finding the silver lining in the golden doodle. Sorry if there's any golden doodle listeners. I bust Paul's chops about it all the time. So I'm sure you've probably heard it if you listen to the podcast enough. You know, I've heard this little golden doodle bark in the background a time or two.
Yeah, you love that.
So I want to go into another quick thing, and I want to reference something that you had said on the previous podcast. Mm-hmm. That when I went back and listened to it again, it just triggered this thought process for me. And I wanted to,
how many times did you listen to it in a row like a weirdo?
I only listened to it once in a row, but I've listened to it three times total. Actually, but I've listened to chunks of it again too at different times. Because listen, like this is as educational for me as it is for the listeners. And the last 7 months, what the hell month is it? August? Is it August? Yeah, August.
Yeah.
The last 8 months has been like I felt like I've learned a ton just about everything, especially mergers and acquisitions, everything going on.
Yeah.
But so it was good to go back and listen to it. And I went back and looked at my notes because I take notes on every podcast. So I have my little sheet with stuff all over it because we talked for like an hour and a half. It was a pretty long one. But you had mentioned that there were three things in marketing that work without fail.
Yes.
And those three things in marketing that work without fail are consistency, longevity, and frequency.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. So what I want you to do is just break down just some examples underneath one of those three, you know, pillars, if you will.
Yeah.
Just what are a few options that listeners can do with, you know, utilizing that information regardless of their size, like consistency, longevity, and frequency. We talked about it in a little bit different context, but like, how is it like, how, if you were saying, hey, $1 million company or hey, $500,000 company, just trying to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things you got to do when you're using consistency and longevity and frequent, like what are the things that you would like, how would you break that down to the contractor?
So that's really a marketing, it's not a concept. It's a fact. It's a fact.
Fact.
Guarantee. For marketing, but really could be applied to a lot of things, but we'll focus on marketing because that's where the concept came from. And that's where I'll explain exactly how I do
it. So I guess I'm shifting gears a little bit because you for sure said marketing, but clearly that is important and it's clever marketing, right?
Yeah,
so
I want to segue. Cheap leads, you know, if you can get, you know, shake your cost per lead from, you know, 200 to 20, changes your business pretty significantly, right? So let me break it down real quick for people who didn't watch the first one. It's a guaranteed way, literally without fail, without risk, to win in the marketing game. It's to do these three things. It's consistency, longevity, and frequency, meaning I have a similar message running for a very long time over multiple mediums. There's really one flaw with that, and it's actually a really big flaw. All three of those things are really expensive if you think about it in a normal way. If you do it like everyone else does, if you try to compete with a Parker & Sons here in Phoenix and you're $2 million, you cannot use the same tools and tactics that Parker & Sons can. When we were at $7 million, we were doing things entirely different than we do now.
Of course.
Because now we're big enough, we can just push people around. It almost doesn't matter. Like, that sounds sad, but like, creativity is less important and being dynamic is way less important than it used to be.
Sure.
But let me break that down. Consistency, longevity, and frequency. Consistency is fairly easy. You could do that across the board. Longevity, the key there is don't hop in and out and stuff. A lot of people hop in, you know, they might do a radio campaign or PPC or SEO or, you know, email news, whatever it is. And they do it for like 2 months. Like, oh, I haven't got enough of a return. And they've just wasted their money because month three, month five, month six could be where it turns in, right?
Sure.
But let's talk about the one that's kind of more obvious. Let's talk about the consistency, frequency, longevity, going on different mediums, right? So a lot of people think like, hey, I want to do a direct mail campaign. That's a common concept for a small company, or a PPC campaign or an SEO campaign. If you're a smaller company, these are great things to do because they're kind of direct response. There's low barrier to entry,
right?
And you can get decent return if you know what you're doing, right? Now, the key to this is owning it. It's really about owning the process and owning the customer. So if you're going to do a direct mail campaign, you should not do all of Phoenix. That's common sense, right? It's really expensive to own all of Phoenix with direct mail. Not realistic. Everyone's aware of that, right? So what they tend to do is choose a city. If your budget's pretty large, you could still pull off a city. If you're a $1 million business, you are not effectively pulling off a city.
Right.
Because you could send that one direct mail piece one time, and I could promise you, unless you have some kind of amazing offer I've never seen or I've never came up with, I've had some good ideas that we've made some return on, but like, those are one-offs and they're very difficult and very rare, right?
Right.
One direct mail piece is not going to do anything for you. You have to hammer them. You have to hit them every month for a year. You have to hit them four times in a row in 8 weeks, right?
So you got to be consistent.
Oh, that's one of the things, right? but do that for an entire city is expensive, right? What if we did a neighborhood instead? So not only what if I decided that I was going to own this neighborhood that's about 10 years old, so I know it's a good fit for me potentially, it has a good amount of income, I know there's not really many competitors specifically going after this neighborhood, that's even better, right? I could own it cheaper because I don't have to compete. What if I not only direct mailed that specific neighborhood over and over and over again, but I talked about the neighborhood in that direct mail piece? And then I hired techs from around that area. And when my guys weren't busy, I had them sit and park around that neighborhood at restaurants. And you know, that's where we try to do lunch. That's where we try to get gas. So we try to really hammer, like, this company is everywhere. Man, they just, like, they're stock in this neighborhood, right? I'm doing yard signs in that neighborhood. It doesn't necessarily make sense, and this is counterintuitive, but to do yard signs with every install you do, because if you only see one, it's just not going to do it. You have to have a presence, and they have to be hit multiple times in multiple ways for it to stick. So that's like a way to take, hey, I want to own something and make it really inexpensive by choosing which neighborhood. This could be a neighborhood with 500 houses or 5,000 houses. Depends on your budget and whether it's a good fit. And you could also put together 50 neighborhoods, right? Like, I'm of the opinion, and, you know, we did this at Parker & Sons, like, never would I send a direct mail piece for Phoenix. Like, I did 50 neighborhood mail pieces because I get to really put some thought and, like, try to own them way more successful. So that's a kind of a simple idea to bring down the cost to make owning something realistic. By the way, I talk about this all the time. Like, don't ever do marketing, especially, where you can't own that customer. When I say own it, like, you're the first thing they think about, and the last thing they think about before they go to bed. Like, be obnoxious, be crazy, like, be in their face and be unforgettable.
But that needs to be the, I mean, obviously, like, that needs to be the mindset you're trying to get them in, is like, shit, you're everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are in my neighborhood. I like the idea that of you owning the neighborhood, because that's doable. It's reasonable.
Yeah.
And even if you're small, there's a lot of things that you can do with minimal output on cash and straight up sweat equity that you can still own that neighborhood by being present and doing these things. You're getting involved with all the schools. I mean, everything.
Schools, you get involved with their HOA. Like, and it doesn't matter if you're $500,000 business or $100 million. This is doable.
Yep.
Right. And beyond that, right, like, this is a key point too. Don't just pick the neighborhood you live in. So many people do that, and maybe that's the good fit. I don't know. But use it off the numbers and what your ideal customer is, not what you like, right? I like this neighborhood. This is where I live. This is whatever. That's less relevant to me than you think. It weighs 1% out of 100. You know what I mean?
What do you think if these guys are saying, well, oh yeah, this is a great idea. I see this other company's stuff in this, you know, the neighborhood I want to be in, all, like, they're always there. You think that's just a mindset thing? You're like, okay, yeah, so now you be there. Like, and they're like, oh, well, this company's, you know, way bigger than us. They have way more trucks, you know. So find another neighborhood.
So the truth is, at now, Parker & Sons is the anomaly, right? So we don't anymore, but, like, since I'm not in the day-to-day, we don't think small like that anymore. It became unscalable and unusable. Even when I left and we were over 100 million, like, that was a task to try to really own neighborhoods. Bigger companies in general, even, you know, if you're 20 million plus, you don't do this. If you're 10 million plus, you generally don't do this. So just because Parker & Sons has a lot of trucks there, they're not going to do it the same way you do it. I could promise you. I could guarantee it, right?
Actually really good. Yeah.
So don't worry about that so much. That being said, if there's a ton of trucks in that neighborhood, that should play into the concept of which neighborhood's the ideal neighborhood. If that biggest competitor's shop is right outside that neighborhood, it doesn't make it impossible. It's still very doable. But it's certainly, if that neighborhood's all other things are equal to one that's, you know, 5 minutes down the road from your shop, or no one's really paying attention to because it's on the outskirts, but we could own it, you know, then I would lean that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. That's great. I
own everything though.
I know you do.
I want to jump in on that if you don't mind. Put yourself in the position of a homeowner really quick. So have you ever heard of a neighbor or a friend or someone say, oh, I'm not going to use that company because they must spend a ton of money on advertising because I get all these things in the mail and I see the billboards and I see the TV. How would you respond to that? Because I know that that's something I hear all the time, right? And they may skip going to the marketing company and try to dig for somebody who seems a little more like, you know, practical or smaller scale. Do you ever run into that?
Yeah, of course. So I have a different train of thought than most people on this. And to be perfectly clear, almost everything, not almost everything I'm going to talk about, I've tested and I've proven, right? Not just with one company, generally many companies. So this is a perfect example, like the review game. Reviews are so important to this industry, right? And there's companies with 10,000 plus five-star reviews, right? And I've had a software company that does reviews. We sold it earlier this year. Not the point, but people would ask us, like, at what point is enough reviews, right? Like, I don't want to be people. The answer is you can never have enough reviews, but that's for the majority of people. There's always a subset of people that's fairly small that will never work with that company that has 5,000 reviews because they think, like, that's just too big a company. I don't want a big company. I want a small company. But if you were to take 100 customers, you're talking 1 to 2. If you want to niche after the 1 to 2 customers, compete with 1,000 other companies doing that, I mean, that's your call. Or you could just be obnoxious and deal with a 98.
And play the odds.
And play the overwhelming odds.
Yes.
I like it. I didn't think you were going to like that question. You crushed it.
I kind of know what I'm doing just a little bit.
He was testing your patience.
Yeah, he's like.
But no, that happens, but it's just very rare. It's very rare.
So one thing that I want to, Laura, I want to get your feedback on this as well, is I commend you for this, my good sir.
Okay.
For thinking outside the box in your marketing campaigns. And we talked about it. I'm not going to go into all of it again, but you've done some really out of the box thinking that's been very successful. I'm anxious to know also, Laura, like how you've kind of been pulled into this because you're coming in from a completely different position is what are you guys doing when you're tasked with trying to think like outside the box for some of your consulting customers or for some of your guys' customers? Is there something that you two are doing? Maybe you've already got like a game plan on, hey, man, these are some ideas that I've got. And I'm not talking it needs to be way out there. I'm just saying, like, are there things where you're like, man, these are maybe these are some things that these guys could try that we believe we've done a variation of this and it's worked really well. But I also believe that some of these guys are large enough that they're okay with saying, yeah, I get like this is a risk, but clearly you've had some success with it, so I'm game. Let's try it. So, what are some out of the box, ideas, or how that you guys use, or how do you even like take the time to try and figure those things out? It's just like you're sitting around and you're having a Guinness, and not in America, of course, because they don't do the pour right.
No,
but absolutely not.
But what do you guys do to come up with these out of the box ideas or your out of box ideas for your customers?
I think something we do that like a few of our clients we've encouraged to do more of is we meet every single day without fail and we bounce ideas off. We bounce challenges that some of our customers are going through, challenges that we want to overcome in our own business. Sure. And it's just that cadence of consistently meeting. And I think it's like, I don't know if you guys have heard like masterminds and the power of mastermind. It's like putting two brains toward a similar goal.
Sure.
And like rather than relying upon your own brain or your own ideas, which is often super conducive, but bouncing that off another person and then combining an idea. So like what we encourage so many of our clients to do is just meet often, especially we work with a lot of business owners who their husband and wives run the business. Mm-hmm. And they're totally on different pages, you know, that kind of can fall into the home a little bit. So it's just consistently meeting is so important. So you're not just on the same page, but you can also contribute to ideas together.
Yeah. So I think I would consider myself a very creative person now. Agreed. I don't think I started as a creative person. It was a muscle I had to build. You know what I mean?
I get it.
now I the benefit I have above all else is I think differently than anybody else in the space. Anybody in marketing, I know both the home service industry extremely well. I know marketing really well. But I've gone well beyond that at this point.
Yeah. And you've visited with so many other
I've stolen so many ideas. It's not even funny. but I think it's a combination of a bunch of things. Number one, we're voracious learners. Like, we make effort to learn constantly. And a big part of that, too, is it doesn't have to be from another HVAC or plumbing company. I'll learn from anybody. So I make a big effort to learn a lot of things, learn what other industries are doing, what they're having success with, and say, hey, I wonder if I could tweak that and make that work for us. So that's a big thing, is like, we pull in a lot of information. And that's, there's no real secret to that outside of effort. Another thing we do is, like, we absolutely think, you know, part of the benefit of being with that, with Pulse and with launching my own software business, right, is I really got into A-B testing. Now, most people A-B test on digital. I A-B test everything. So, like, it's almost like no idea is too crazy. Let's test it. Let's see what happens. And, you know, that's easy to say now, but even when we were smaller, we really did that really effectively. Like, we tracked everything, found out what worked, went with that, and then no matter what, we're going to come up with another idea and test it against it. Like, nothing is ever settled. And when you force yourself, like, we tried these 50 things, we need a 51st thing, you find yourself getting, like, a little bit more creative, a little bit more out of the box, and a lot of times falling flat in your face. But occasionally, it works really, really, really well. And it just took a wealth of trial and error and experience to kind of do that, I guess. I don't know if that really helped anyone.
I think this leads right back into your point too. Gary Vee says this: do what I do, not what I say, and just watch your competitors and steal ideas. Just to Josh's point, you know, like, I think don't try to recreate the wheel. Just look at what they're doing, and there's so many things you'll just be able to easily execute on too. Just clearly from observing, like, mm-hmm. that simple thing of putting the signs in your neighborhood, like, that's just something that you could easily.
Yeah, and everybody kind of knows that, but they don't go into detail. The only caveat I would say that I 100% agree with Laura, but don't assume because someone else is doing that it works, not even just for you, right? But sometimes it doesn't work for them either, and they just don't track. Even the biggest and most successful companies, you could walk into and just see they're burning money on ideas they've never tracked or tested. So be cautious, but it's certainly worth testing if someone's having success.
Speaking of other companies, you know, outside of Parker and Sons, outside of your clients, which company throughout the country do you admire the most? Who's got it all together?
No one's got it all together. That doesn't exist. It's not that I know of, anyway. For me, it's...
They're called Unicorn Home Services.
Yeah. Yeah,
buy that, Kyle.
Where's that located? I'm going there right now. to me, this sounds weird and it's a little counterintuitive and it's not exactly answering your question, but there's no company that I like really respect and love and like I have to be like them. It's more business owners and people and managers. A business to me, you know, Ellen Rohr taught me this. I know she was on this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
She's awesome.
Oh, she's a firecracker, man. I love her death. I don't know if I could ever work with her, though, because she just so much energy. I would slowly be wore down.
No, she's amazing.
But she taught me, you know, a business is a vehicle, right? It's nothing more, nothing less. If your business breaks, just like a car, you know, you can abandon it. You could kill your car. You could sell your car. You could lease it out. You're not your business, right? So there's people that I really respect in this industry, and a lot of them. And it doesn't necessarily have to do with, you know, you being a $100 million business or $1 million. There's amazing people in this industry. So there's a lot of people I respect. There's no companies like I want to be like, you know, that guy, that company necessarily.
That makes sense.
I wasn't going to let you off the hook for that, but that's a perfect description and I'm 100% okay with it. If you want to drop some names, that'd be helpful too. But no, that's fair. I'll give you that.
I mean, there's a lot of people out there that I respect a ton. Ellen, I freaking love certain things that Ellen does. That's absolutely unbelievable.
She's got like this simplified thinking process that I love about her. Like, she has all this big fire, but she doesn't overcomplicate
things. No, she does not. That's the key to it, right? We were talking before the Justos at ASI, man. I freaking love those guys. Those are some of the nicest people in the world, also run a really successful business. If you've ever been there, they're in San Diego. I've been there, I don't know how many times, 5 or 6 times. And like that whole office is just humming and everybody loves it there. It's great. There's great people everywhere, man. And we could, I was talking to Jamie like a week and a half ago, right? Jamie DiDomenico. Man, that guy is a freaking all-star. Thing's totally different than everybody else. You know, we got Ken. We got a bunch of people in the wrench group I respect a ton and just are amazing people.
Yeah. You said something there real quick, Chris. You said about simplicity and how Ellen could just simplify things. A book that I'd like super recommend is Extreme Ownership. It's by Jocko Willock. He's like Navy SEAL, awesome dude. And he's just, his whole thing is about just simplify, simplify, simplify. And he kind of like teaches you how. So
those Navy SEALs are next level. Like,
yeah.
That's true.
I read a book from a dude called David Goggins called Can't Hurt Me. And he was a Navy SEAL. And like this book is all about, it's all more of like mindset type of stuff. Cause obviously as a Navy SEAL, you gotta be like one strong motherfucker. Like, hey, your mindset's gotta be on point.
You're off in a good way.
Yes.
Yes. You ain't right.
You ain't right. But ain't nobody trying to mess with you. But I want to ask I'm gonna go sideways in a second because I want to forget this, and because I have ADD, I will forget it. I want to reiterate something you said that I thought was really awesome, that you don't hear much, and that is, I mean, we hear it in our world because we've been doing it for a decade at least, is this A-B testing methodology is fairly normal in a digital marketing company because you have to try these new things and you have to A-B test, but I believe it's easier. It's because you can get to the result quicker. You said you're doing that in multiple facets. Like you were doing multiple A-B tests for different things.
I'm not only doing that in digital marketing. I'm doing it on broadcast marketing. I'm doing that on operational tools. I'm doing that on internal promotions.
Probably A-B tests on me.
I'm doing A-B tests on Laura. You know,
the bathrooms at the Diamondback Stadium, or would that be a 1 and 2 test?
That'd be a 1 and 2 test. It's totally different. Yeah.
You are so stupid.
That's I've been sitting good on that for like 20 minutes.
Yeah. That's pretty good. That's pretty.
No, but like the truth is like we test scripts on the phone, right? Like, you know what I mean? Emails, everything can be tested. Everything. And if you have a good system of tracking and holding people accountable for making those adjustments and figuring out which one's more effective, right? You could test. And you could test pay plans. You could test what drives my tech to do the most, this promotion or that promotion. Only way to know is, you know, to test them, right? Most people just go with this. Hey, I saw an uptick. Could there have been more of an uptick? Did you even track if there was an uptick? So many people do like, you know, promotions. Hey, if we hit this revenue goal, then we do this, right? But, you know, what did we do last year? How did that compare? Was that actually an uptick? Was that a high enough goal? Did we see any progress because of this? You know, unless you're set up and you're thinking that way, if you don't think with the test in mind when you build stuff, it's very difficult to track. So, like, it's a testing first mentality. I forget what's the startup book?
Sugar.
It's not Sugar.
It's not Sugar.
Yeah.
Hold on.
That was a different
Lean Startup. Book. Lean Startup?
Yeah, maybe. I think it might be Lean Startup.
Lean Startup.
And, went
and it's
that
a
process.
Blue cover. So if you look it up and it's not a blue cover, it's the wrong name. But we can shoot it to Chris so you can put it in the show notes.
Oh, okay. Here we go. We'll put it in the show notes. You guys might know this. I don't read very many books.
I listen on audio, if that makes you feel better.
But, I mean, I've done that too. I'm finding that as Anna reads. Like, but she reads super fast. I don't read fast because I have to highlight and then go back and reread it to make sure I understood what the hell I just read. Because I'll be reading something and completely thinking about something else. And I'm like, oh, shit, I got to go back 2 pages because I had no idea what I just read. That happens to me. But I'll be damned if I don't learn something when I actually read the book and pay attention to it. I just am finishing this book by Jay Abraham called Everything You Can Out of All You Got. That's what it is.
There you go.
Thank you.
I'm reading it to him, by the way.
Yes, Paul actually created an audio version for me because I just love to hear his soothing baritone voice.
It's his night right before he goes to bed. It's his good night story. Yeah,
exactly. I want to ask you a question, kind of out off the cuff. Since Laura, you are from Ireland.
Just for reference, I stole her straight off the boat. She's been in the United States like 3 years, and we've been together 2 years.
I mean, that, see, listen.
He's captivated me. It was not the game plan.
The sales side he's got, too. Like, I know. That was the best sale of his life. That's what he's going to tell you.
That's true.
well played, buddy.
I can't say it now. You just said it for me.
You're welcome. That's because you guys are, you know, I just know. I can just tell. Question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Are all your customers currently in the United States?
No, we have some in Canada and we have some in Australia. We stick with English speaking for obvious reasons. Sure. We really haven't made a push overseas though, but we should and we will. Our plan next year, you know, we have time freedom in our industry, right, in our business. So we have the ability. We're going to go to Italy for next year and spend a month there. So we'll probably try to launch some stuff in you know, Ireland, England, the you know, United Kingdom. At the same time, and by the way, we'll still be working that entire month. You know, it's just we'll work weird hours.
Yeah. Well, I asked that question. I mean, and for those that are listening, we've developed a great partnership with Clover Marketing and one that works exceptionally well. And we're having great success with our mutual customers. And it's been fun to watch Josh and Laura really grow the company with great success. No different than we thought would happen. You know, and, you know, we've become friends and I've kind of shared some of our plans with you on like what Rhino is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we have similar plans. It's, you know, all the English speaking markets are something that we want to go into. What I found out was when we were onboarding some Australian customers and ironically to all of our Aussies listening, we have a pretty decent base of Aussie listeners. Our, like the podcast ranked like 41 overall in marketing in Australia. Like, blew my mind. So awesome. Shout out to all my Aussies down under. I hope I probably just butchered that.
Inappropriate.
That's not a knife. They're like, no, it's not what he sounds like. Anyhow, we're going to do the same thing. And so you guys have met Anna, so you know that she, if she were in here, she would combat a lot of what I'm saying, but I'm going to push through with it. That is Anna's my wife.
It's on the list.
That's right. Is a Rhino Australia in the summer of 2021. I shared that with you before. Mm-hmm. But I also shared with you 2022 is the Ireland, UK market is where we want to open up an office.
Chris
there
is
going
to try to charm the Irish.
So
I think you got it.
I'm going to need to borrow Laura for a few so we can go and open that up. Mainly because Ireland is amazing. We went there and it was a blast. It's different. Like it's in regards to like the heating and air conditioning business is different.
There's not much of an air conditioning business. Like
it's more like,
you know, we're going to Italy in the summertime and her mom's trying to talk us out of going there. And she's like, it's way too hot. Like, I can't visit. And I'm like, number one, why are you visiting the biggest part of this conversation? We'll visit Ireland on the way in and out. But she goes, no, it's way too hot. I'm like, okay, well, like, let me look up the temperature. And, you know, it's in Celsius, so I got to do the math right. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, that's like 70 degrees. I live in Phoenix, you know, like...
It's
115 right now.
What she really said was, you should go to Greece. I was like, why Greece? Because I'd like to visit Greece.
I was like, oh, kind of come geez. And join your trip. Well, I think it makes a lot of sense because all this stuff is scalable regardless of where you're at. There are some minor differences like Celsius and kilometers and, you know, when you're thinking of different things. But it's for the most part, it's all... You know, it's all relative to the industries and locations.
It's no different in my mind than, you know, Boston to, you know, San Diego, right? These are very different markets. But if you were to take the most successful company in Boston, the most successful company in San Diego, they're like 90% the same, right? Like they have the same concepts. They work the same way. They may not do it the same way because, you know, they have problems or assets or advantages or whatever, right? But it's the same business minus 10%, which is just a little bit of how you talk to a customer. Outside of that, you know, the systems are the same. How you set pricing still makes sense. How you get your guys excited all the same. How you market is the same. It's just you're tweaking minor stuff. So
all the leadership skills are all the same. And so building systems. But what is different is Irish people tend to be skeptical.
Yeah.
So building trust is like you have to be, that has to be on steroids. Like super skeptical. like online programs, all of that. They're like, oh, who is this dude? Can I trust him? So then they, you know, they don't purchase. So that's huge. Building trust, building trust, building trust. And obviously it's huge in any industry or any country, but super skeptical. Irish people are.
I think the value is, and I agree with you. And that's what, like, those are all things that we're going to have to learn. Thankfully, if someone listens to this podcast, like we have a couple of Australian customers that found us because of this, which made it easier to connect because they kind of knew what we were about, regardless if I'm in Australia or not. But what I learned is, and I'm not sure about the UK or Ireland specifically, but in Australia, that there is no trade-specific digital marketing companies in Australia. Some that also do trades, but nobody like us that focuses solely on the trades in Australia. I had no idea. There's people that market to it. So hear me. People that market to it, but nobody that's physically there. So you know me. Yeah, I'm going.
Yeah, why not? I mean, I'll have to go with you just to help you launch and to, you know, talk about stuff.
Only makes sense.
Just master the Aussie accent.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I've got it down already. It's like perfect. Kyle wants to go too. He's like, I need to go and capture this on video and pictures.
There you go. There you go.
Well, I want to finish this thing off too. We're a little over an hour on this, but I want to give you guys an opportunity to just share with our listeners and listen. You know, we're so grateful for all these, you know, the comments and stuff that we get and people, you know, talking about how they love the podcast and things like that. But again, I encourage you to take action. Listen, we bring everybody on here to share things that they've proven and had great success with. So we know that they work. And this is a perfect example. And again, you know, it's always good to have you on here because you give some really solid takeaways that I think are easy to do. Even if you take, you know, just do some things, you know, try something, just try it. But do not be afraid to reach out. Nothing is stupid, right? Josh isn't going to say, well, that's dumb, you know, or that's stupid, or Laura's not going to say anything like that. Now, he might once he gets to know you a little bit better, but in the beginning, he's not. So I encourage you, if you're listening, reach out. It doesn't cost anything, and there are no stupid questions. If you have the ambition to want to build the business, but you just feel hung up, reach out. Like, that's the exact reason Clover Marketing exists. So to close this thing out, just share again with the listeners the best way to get in touch with you and things like that.
Yeah, so we're fairly easy to get a hold of, and I'm a big fan. Now, like, a lot of people would be against this, but I think it's important that I handle stuff with a personal touch as much as I possibly can. So you can either email me or Laura. It's you know, Josh or Laura at growwithclover.com. That's obviously our website. And then we'll go ahead and drop some free stuff on here for you too.
All right.
We'll put everything together that we just talked about in the podcast, and let's call it growwithclover.com/rhino, R-Y-N-O.
R-Y-N-O.
Yep. And it's just so we don't screw this up, it's GROWWITHCLOVER.
We will put a link in the post as well to make this easy.
Yep.
So, any parting words from you, Laura?
No, thank you for having us, Chris.
Do you like Lucky Charms?
Absolutely. Who doesn't?
Is St. Patrick's Day your favorite holiday?
Yes.
Smithwick's or Guinness?
Oh, Guinness. Smithwick's is, if you know, when Americans come, they get Smithwick's. You will not see an Irish person with Smithwick's.
Yeah, I like Smithwick's.
And if you're in Cork, you got to get Murphy's, not Guinness.
No, so I drank so much Smithwick's when I was in Ireland.
It's the
you're a horrible person.
Look around. No Irish person will have a Smithwick's.
Is that equivalent to drinking like a PBR here in the United States?
Wait, with all fairness, when her family comes in, her dad drinks, was it Coors Light?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, Rocky Mountain Brew.
My dad is on a diet. And he said to me, Laura, I'm drinking, what does he call it? Athlete juice. And I was like, yeah, Dad, what's athlete juice? And he says, well, I've given up the pints, so I'm drinking Bacardi and Coke, and apparently that's his athlete juice.
I love him to death. This is the same guy that goes, hey, I'm going to get some exercise in. So he bought an electric bike with a motor on it.
Yep. All of a sudden, he gets places very quick.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I bike places. I get there. It goes like 30 kilometers an hour. I'm like, what the? That's not biking, man. It's like a motorcycle.
But if it gets him to the pub on time.
Yeah, there you go.
I can tell you that I actually know what the athlete drink is. I have been around it quite a bit, you know. And so if athletes are at a event and they like to drink vodka sodas.
I drink vodka
sodas. Yeah, low sugar.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's what that's an athlete kind of alcohol. It not is. Bacardi and Coke, that's but you know what? He's got a mind of his own.
I was at dinner with Chris a couple months ago in Wyoming, and the bartender said, "What would you like to drink?" And I was like, "Do you have a Miller Lite light?" He's like, "No, just Miller Lite." I'm like, "All right, I'll have a water."
That was lame.
It was. I wanted a really lighter than a light beer.
That's like Michelob Ultra. And can we take that off the podcast and just like erase that? That was such a bad joke.
It was true though. Chris, don't you remember?
I do, but it was equally as bad now as it was. Yeah, actually, it was worse because you're in Wyoming and like this bar called the Million Dollar Cowboy, like popular bar in Jackson Hole. And Paul asked for a Miller Lite in this cowboy bar, and the disgust on that waitress's face. Actually, I think it's because she didn't quite understand what you're asking for. She's like, huh? Because it was ridiculous. Anyhow.
I think it's funny.
What do you think it's funny, Paul?
I think there's a market for it.
Maybe you should write a jokes book, Paul, dad jokes. Or not. You should just stick to your co-hosting job because you're phenomenal at it, my friend.
Hey, thank you very much.
Hey, Josh and Laura, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate you guys. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Grateful to have y'all as partners and grateful as to have you as friends. And I'm sure, man, I know how this goes. I'm sure there's going to be another episode. Maybe the next one we got to do like a live deal where we can just let people hammer down on Josh and Laura with questions because you, like Paul was doing, just let them, you know, speed round on asking questions or whatever, something like that. I don't know. We'll figure out something creative to do.
Yeah, we'll welcome it.
I'm in.
Perfect. So good luck on your new podcast. I'm excited, you know, for you guys to get that started. And once you do, we'll make sure to let our listeners know so they can check it out. And then, you know, keep kicking ass with Clover Marketing. You're crushing it. I'm excited to be along for the ride with y'all. I appreciate that very much. And listeners, you got to reach out. All right, they just shared all their information, and there's going to be some free shit they're giving out, which is cool. I mean, you know, and that's part of our partnership, which is awesome. But that was all them. They're doing it on their own. So take advantage of it. If you really want to grow your company, you got to act like it. You, your family, and your employees and customers are counting on it. So do good shit. Until next time, we'll see you.
Thank you for listening to The Point. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please consider leaving us a review in the App Store. And don't forget to share with your friends. Till next time, kick some ass.